Blog Talk Radio. Mayat Hotep and Better Love. You are listening to the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly, and we have one of the Truth to Power family members with us tonight. We have Eric. Eric L. is with us. Thank you, Eric. Good hearing from you. Haven't heard from you for a while.
Oh, boy. Man, Beverly, that intro right there was fat. I'm still grinning and smiling from feeling so high on that. Yes. Thank you for having us again. And, thank you for having us throughout the years. Beverly, it's a powerful, magnetic, very entertaining and educating, faculty you have here. So, yeah, thank you for the longevity.
Yes. I love the frequencies that's here. So today is John Coltrane's birthday. It's born day today. So we're going to listen to some of his frequencies. And also we're going to hear some of Carlos Offen. What is it? Avon Offen.
Averhoff, that's right.
Averhoff Jr. We're going to listen to some of his music also tonight. So we're really going to be getting some good frequencies and vibrations tonight. And also we talk with the family, can call in too later on.
Yeah, well, your turntables are still burning, Beverly, and they don't never cool off, you know. But last night, you know, I know you had them sauce and chips out. You didn't have that mild. You had that hot, that spicy hot. So, we just keep the turntables going, you know. They don't need no rest.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to put some old John Coltrane on.
Let's do it. Let's ride the train.
All right.
Thank you.
That was My Favorite Thing by John Coltrane. And I'm noticing that his birthday is today. So that makes him have the vibration of a Virgo and a Libra energy that is there. And I'm listening to his music. You know, you could tell that he was really, you could feel him. He was really into it. And looking at his pictures, you can see that he was really going within. I've heard his music through the years, but I really wasn't into jazz like that until later in my life. But that's, you know, that's what I'm looking at. Let's see here.
706-202. Containing the light.
Hotep and better love.
Hotep Kwame, better love. We're here vibing with John Coltrane on his born day.
I came in on that last set, you know. I had to go back to my jazz talk, you know. But it's good to hear that, because he would have been, what, 96. Yeah, 90, uh-huh. Born in 1926, he would have been 96.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he was, and you know, the thing about him, like you was just describing, because Coltrane was, his son was in Libra, his ascendant was in Pisces, his moon was Aries, moon was in Aries, Pisces, Leo, Libra, Leo. But, you know, his dominant planets was Neptune and Jupiter and Mars. And so all of that shows him astrologically, path was five. And you know what Brother Eddie always talking about, he got five on it.
Right.
That was his numerology path was five. So Coltrane, you know, came here in order to give us something that we still need today, and that's that higher level of connection to our conscious self. And even with his wife, you know, Alice Coltrane, because she picked up when he transitioned, she went to India and studied, and she came back and she took it to the next level in her music. So, you know, his whole time here, you know, with some of the greats, because he played with some of the greats, and to be able to, you know, sit here and have this show and discuss about him on his solar return is powerful, because he, you know, the fall equinox, and tonight is the, because tomorrow, the 24th, 25th, is the new moon, and then we just had, well, the equinox really won't be until the 26th, because astrologically, the equinox means equal day and equal night, and we won't have a sunrise and sunset at the same time until the 26th, even though it came out on the date of the 22nd. If you look at the time of the sunrise and the sunset, they're totally different. But when you go to the 26th, the sunrise is at 7:22 a.m. and it sets at 7:22 p.m. And that's the astrological alignment, because it varies, you know, in the alignment.
Right.
It's time.
And okay. And we're going to add the number man to the mound table. Is this Eddie?
Greetings, family. Greetings. Peace, much love, Brother Eric.
Better love.
Elder Kwame. you drew me in with the five, you know. But then you stole my thunder with the equinox, because, you know, I had mentioned that in the last class. And, yeah, you know, you figured it out perfectly, because, again, I went back and the numbers that they're showing now is always added to the morning rising 1 minute and 2 minutes, subtracted from the sunset. So yeah, on the 26th will be the equal time of day and night, which is the actual first day of autumn, fall. Because again, as we always talking about the calendar, and we know the calendar has been changed. So again, looking at all this and getting back with universal time, we know now, because we're talking about it, when the equinox, the solstice, these changes really happen. So, and with that five, Brother Coltrane with jazz is instrumental. Instruments come to 50, along with the lyrics, that is 25, which is a five, and the words that are the connection to our memories and vibrations. And this is why we are on that vibration of Brother Coltrane on his Earth Day today.
Yeah.
So with that, I just wanted to add that to the piece of the puzzle of the Round Table family. With
yeah.
that, I'll
yeah.
mute my line and keep listening. Peace and love.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. We got, and speaking of spirituality, this is the name of the next tune from John Coltrane, Spiritual. That was in 1963. He was in Berlin when he performed that.
Heavy, heavy.
Spiritual.
Yeah, that was fire, man. Boy, I'm telling you, Beverly, it's coming through my little speaker. It got a nice bass tone. And man, that piano lick, I want to say most of this piano, you know, he kept a pretty tight-knit group with him. He liked to play with McCoy Tyner. I'm pretty sure that's McCoy Tyner on that piano, man. That piano lick is cold, boy. And, man, yes, raising the vibe, raising the frequency right there. You know, a lot of people, jazz hits you in a certain kind of way. It's hard to put words to it. That's why you have to improvise with different instruments to kind of explain jazz. You can't really explain it. It has to be played out, you know. It's a cool, when I was young and hot-headed, all I had to do was listen to jazz, and I'd be chilling. And my aunt, my Tia Flora, big up to Rise of Power, rest in peace to my aunt Flora, she used to take me to Redondo Beach, jazz on the pier. And I see, you know, three people playing, a drummer and a stand-up bass, you know, and a brother on the horn. They'd be jamming for hours out there. People just be putting, you know, nickels and dimes on their blanket.
Right.
And man, that would chill me out. I always wanted to chill with her because she always chilled like that. You know, she had a beauty salon. And but anyway, yeah, that was my introduction to jazz, chilling with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a chill, you know, it's a man's music, you know. And then when we little boys, we used to get dropped off at to go get a haircut. And then the brothers be playing jazz the whole time you in there, you know. And, you know, they don't be talking, and nobody be talking loud. Everybody be talking quiet, but, you know, the conversation be serious. So you be focused, you be tuned in on what's going on. You know, you looking at everybody walk through the door, you know, you watching everything, you know. It's a real focused kind of music. So I want to say that because a lot of people are ailing in joints. You know, the season is changing. You know, it was cold in Michigan this morning, about 37, but mm-hmm. I feel good. You know what I'm saying? That cold weather, boy, it exposed certain ailments. And so, you
yes,
know, your people, yeah, people, joints and stuff be aching. These kind of vibrations and frequencies definitely help, you know, with those pain. Get you some honey, just sip on a little honey, you know, and you don't have to put it on nothing, no bread or nothing. Just get your little honey just by itself and sip on it, or, you know, hey, some of your favorite things, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Whatever that may be for the change of the season, you know, clean out the worms, you know, do a cleansing, a bowel mm-hmm. cleansing, and get rid of worms and get ready for the next season. But yeah, definitely. These tones and frequencies are definitely, and it's just a natural vibe. We on a Venus, on a Vietanus night, you know, Friday. And, so yeah, it's just a natural vibe. That's all. It's real easy. Yeah, sounding good, Beth. Sounding real good.
But Sister yeah. Beth.
Yes. That's Kwame.
Yeah. You know, and good evening, Brother Eric.
Good evening, Love Supreme.
I'm saying four years after Coltrane came to the planet, on the same day, Ray Charles came to the planet in Albany, Georgia. Born in 1930. Then you had Bruce Springsteen came to the planet. He's born on the 23rd of September. Jermaine Dupri came to the planet, you know, on the same date. So all of this divine energy of music was gifted into these ones that came here to balance. You know, Bruce Springsteen helped to balance the energy of, you know, born in the USA. Ray Charles, you know, his style and him playing the piano, like you were saying about McCoy Tyner being with him. But that was Ray Charles came onto the planet 4 years after in 1930. So you're looking at, you know, this whole thing of seasonal change, because that's when they came in right after the fall equinox, and they played that equal balance
and being able to give the people the music, you know. And there were, Mickey Rooney was an actor. He was born on the 23rd. You know, even Augustus Caesar back in the B.C. was born on the 23rd of September. They've got a listing of all these people that were, came in to the planet on this date. And this is what we have to look at because, yes, John Coltrane is synonymous to jazz. You know, I hear people, you know, saying that David Sanborn and Najee, because they were playing the soprano saxophone. I was like, no, they couldn't touch Coltrane because he was the one that brought it into jazz. You know, so you look at the greats and then you get people that don't know the greats and then they hear somebody like David Sanborn or Najee. Yeah, they're great in their time. Time that what they're playing can't go with what Coltrane had put into it when he introduced the soprano sax to it. So these are the parts that we have to, as elders, have to be able to share. Okay, yeah, listen to that, but go listen to Equinox. Go listen to Spirit. Go listen to some of his, you know, what is it, Love Supreme. You know, when you go and listen to that, you know, and then even going back further, because I remember Ben Webster. I went all the way to Switzerland to see Dexter Gordon, you know, because I was just that jazz buff. And these were the ones that, you know, opened the way for us to be able to hear what we're hearing, because seeing Miles Davis, and they had the saxophone greats because they had the show there, the Montrose Festival. They had all the saxophone greats. They had Stan Getz. They had Marcellus Brothers. They had Hugh Mass. Well, he played the horn, French horn, but they had all the saxophone greats there. And to be able to see all of that music being played, and even in Chicago, and Brother Eddie, know if he can tune in, back in when they first started the jazz festival at the Band Shell, you had all the greats there. You could see them free. Go there and just spread your blanket out. Now they didn't change it and charge it, and they didn't took it over. But those, when you could go there and see all the greats, or all the greats that played there in Chicago as a kid, listening to Gene Ammons and you know, some of those greats that were playing sets. It was a time, you know, and this is what you're saying, that piece that you find when that horn or that music is playing, it brings down that heartbeat and calms you down and puts you into you, because they were able to reach into the unknown and bring something to the known and make it come through that horn, or make it come through that guitar. What's his name? Wes Montgomery. You know, those type of guys that played music that came from the unknown to the known. And these are the arts that we created, because jazz is America's classical music. We created this.
Yeah, that's true. Let me add Tuck Mokes to the mound table. Tuck Mokes, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening. I was reading about this teenager that was ran over because he was a Trump supporter, man. It's unbelievable. The John Coltrane, I'm not too familiar with John Coltrane. I've heard the name, but his music, this is probably for that other song, I heard it before several times, you know. But very interesting. Looked him up, and he has a house in Philadelphia. that is a historical landmark that people could go to. And he also has a house in New York. And I looked it up. It's in Dix Hills. Now, just to let people know, Dix Hills is where Brooke Shields lives. So, you know, you can't afford to live out there. You know what I'm saying? That's in Long Island. It said in 2002, the 3.4 acres house and property faced demolition and development until this guy, a historian, discovered its prominence and prevalence. He alerted the widow, and they made it a historical preserved site as well. And
good.
I mean, just to think, I'm like, you know, this brother owned 3.4 acres in Dix Hills? Like, man, that's a lot of, how much that's worth? You know, houses out there cost like $12 million, you know what I'm saying? They registered it in 2007 as a National Register of Historical Places. Hopefully it stays around. They're still trying to keep it from being demolished because someone else does own the property. But in this house, he composed a song called The Love Supreme. I don't know if y'all familiar with that song, but he made that in this house, so that's why they're trying to keep it. But what this shows me is how technology works in the real world, because John Coltrane played the saxophone, and I would imagine when he recorded, he probably was in a studio, and everybody that played the instruments was there, and they went live, and you know, they recorded it, and, you know, probably on the old reel, so they couldn't make too many mistakes because that was expensive. But now you could just simply sample his music with modern technology, you know, and make your own song out of his music. Just change the rhythm or the pattern or add a drum with different patterns, whatever, to it. Or you could use a keyboard or some other equipment that has the saxophone sound preset in it, so you could just, when you hit the key, it's just playing the sax instead of playing the piano. So you got all this technology now, but what's lost is the art of playing the saxophone. I can't think of the last brother I saw playing the saxophone, playing the horn, playing the flute, you know, doing these type of things that, like, it was a lot of us who did it back in the days. You know, you had Coltrane, you had Miles Davis, you had Louis Armstrong, you had Duke Ellington. I mean, you had a lot of different musicians playing different, and no one plays instruments anymore. It's like a lost art form. And it's sad, but it's all due to the technology. So anyone can make a beat, but not everyone can play the instruments that make the beat anymore, you know?
True.
So how it works. And I'll mute my line.
Thank you, Tuckmos. Okay.
And could I just, Tutmos, and good evening, Tutmos, and that was powerful, you know, because that was historical site, and that's why he made Love Supreme. The thing that I see with technology, and like you're saying, it's not many people playing the instrument because you can do it on keyboard, and it's not the same. It doesn't have the heart of what those musicians was playing in those studios, because Miss Kim was on the other night and we were talking, and she was saying that people don't even write music anymore, you know, the way everything is already technologically keyed into the computer, that, you know, you play the notes and they all show up on that. Well, these guys would take a sheet and create what they knew, the notes and all of that. John Coltrane was a great arranger. He could arrange the whole band or whatever it was that he was getting ready to play for his albums. He knew what the drums was to play, what the bass player was to play, what he was going to play, what the horns was going to play, what the keyboards was, the ivory was to play. And so being able to arrange all of that in coming out of your head and putting it on paper and giving it to someone that can interpret it and play it just the way that you had heard it in your head, you know,
yeah.
And these are the skills that, you know,
our ancestors had. And there's some that are still writing and still doing it because they've got a lot of great sisters playing saxophone. If you look them up, there's a lot of sisters playing saxophone, and they're good. You know, these sisters are playing horn, and you know, Hubert Laws and his sister, forget her name, but she played flute also. Herbie Mann, you know, played flute. You know, these were artists back in the day, and, you know, it wasn't nothing for, you know, Dexter Gordon used to always say, happiness is a wet Rico. And you ask, well, what's a Rico? Rico was the type of reed that they used on the saxophone. And that was an art in being able to take that bamboo and shave it and make it that way you can hit them high notes that you needed to hit while you were blowing. So these are the arts, you know, that we look at, yeah, technology, but the feeling is not in the electric. The feeling is in the heart. And when you breathing into that horn, or when you get into that those fingers get to moving up and down that ivory, you know, Ahmet Jamal, you know, these were great piano players, like you said, Duke Ellington. These were great. And to be able to play and blow that's why they kind of took music out of school, because it brings the creativity out of the child when he learns to focus that energy.
Yes, that's for sure. And they want to put us in this artificial and take us out of the real. You're absolutely right, Kwame.
Can I be heard, family?
Yes, you can.
Real quick, just listening to everything, and I'm always writing them right now anyway, but the instruments basically coming from the interpretation of the brain is what we're talking about, where that feeling originates from. And now, as we said, the computer has taken the place of that brain. When we look at instruments being 50, which is 5, interpretation being 59, which is 5, brain 14, 5, and computer 32, which is 5. I got 5 on it. So, yeah, they're definitely doing that, but it started and originated from our thought coming directly from the brain within that instrument that did the interpretation. That's why, as Brother Eric said, you know, he don't even need the words. Ain't no reason to try to explain the instruments that has the interpretation of the lyrics without the words that we feel. So, yes. Appreciate it, family.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Appreciate we're going to go into Blue Train.
Thank you.
Wondering, you know, someone said earlier that mostly men, you know, listen to jazz. And I know when I was coming up, that's around me, mostly of the men's were into the jazz more so than the women's. I wonder why is that.
But, you know, sometime in a barbershop, you know, a lot of people come and bring their children to the barbershop on Friday and Saturdays and the jazz be playing. And a lot of the time, the women are sitting there while their child is getting a haircut and listen to the jazz and be, you know, in on the conversation with the brother. So I guess it's just the environment you grow up in. You know, not everybody is exposed to different types of music and things, you know. But I say jazz is a man's music because it's mature is what I meant. I meant by being it's mature music, you know.
And the other part of it is it's male music, because most of the jazz musicians were playing about their part with women in their life. And these are the things, you know, Coltrane made Love Supreme, but, you know, when he made that, when Tutmos was sharing, that's where he arranged it at there in New York. But the part that he used, Coltrane, Parker, all of them, they had a special thing that Selma was the instrument that was made in France. And those was what the top-of-the-line saxophones and all of the greats. With once you got to playing on a Selma instrument, you had quality sound that came out of those instruments. And what they were playing to, what was going on in their life. You know, Parker was strung out on drugs. Coltrane had started out, but he kicked his habit, you know, after he got kicked out of Miles's band, I think it was, or was it Miles or Dizzy, one of them, but I know he got kicked out, and that's why he kicked his habit. The thing that you look at is jazz in itself dealt with, you know, everyday life and what men went through, and they could relate to that music. You know, back in the day, women and men loved jazz when it was bebop. Then you had another era came in, you know, that was playing about the civil rights or the movements that was going on in the times of the 50s and 60s. So what you had is different eras that horn was playing. You know, Ben Webster would play, you know, them ballads, that love music, to where women and men could get into it. And, you know, a whole lot of children were made just like Barry White. Ben Webster was making a lot of babies back in the day, you know. So you had different eras of that music where it resonated with more male energy than it did female energy.
Yeah, because I know I didn't really start appreciating jazz until I got older. You know, when I was younger, I definitely wasn't into it.
Yeah, and each generation, you know, has its genre. You know, the youth of today is hip-hop, or they've got a new music that they're listening to besides hip-hop. They've created a new genre. So what we're seeing is that each generation, you know, we being baby boomers, we came up in that era. My mother and all of them down south came up in the era of blues and bebop. That was the music that of the South, and that was going on. You know, New York was Harlem was the artist row. You know, some of the greats came through Harlem. So you're looking at each era, you know, the Cotton Club, to where we were playing in bands where we couldn't even go in and sit down and listen to it. We couldn't even serve, you know, in some of those places. But our bands, but they loved our music. And Europe to today still has some of the greatest archives and people loving jazz, because every year, they have a jazz that comes from the Black Sea all the way through into France, and then it ends up in Montreal, Canada, with these jazz festivals. Then it comes down into it. But a lot of us don't support what our ancestors created.
Oh, that's true. All right. Let's get back to... Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Now I listened to the song. First time I heard it, and the trombone guy was nice. The piano guy was amazing, but the saxophone messed the whole song up. He was. Now Eric said jazz is mathematical, and it sounded like he wrote too much saxophone in certain areas, so he had to start speeding it. Playing it to keep it in rhythm, it just didn't like, why is he going so fast? It's a smooth beat, man. Just play the sax smooth, man. Like, but now that you guys are saying it was a male music, I'm thinking, man, that he had no women in the crowd, so he played hard. You know what I'm saying? He played smooth. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's what it is. Like, look at me. I'm going to blow the hell out of this thing. You know what I mean? So interesting, you know. And when I grew up, the biggest jazz group was some Asians. They was called Hiroshima. And the biggest jazz artist or the biggest saxophonist was a white dude named Kenny G. So it just shows you what genres of music. Because we get into we create a style of music, and eventually we lose it and they take over it. You know, even when you go down to New Orleans and some of those jazz clubs, it's all white people playing the doggone jazz in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? So it's like what you're gonna see happen eventually in hip hop. Where it's going to be, you see more and more white rappers, and they're more and more accepted. And pretty soon it's going to be white people doing all of the original music, you know, while black people move on to something else, you know. And, you know, it's just a continuing thing from jazz to rock and roll to the regular blues. Everything had, we had it, we created it, and then eventually someone else is the face of it after, you know, we do all the hard work to get it where it's at.
And that's true. I saw the guy that Elvis Presley copied after. I mean, he copied this black guy tone and everything, movement. And he, you know, he took it to a whole, like, they say he the king of rock and roll. And it was this black
Bo
guy.
Diddley.
Who was it?
Bo Diddley.
Okay. Well, I don't know what his name, but I mean, he didn't add nothing to it. He just copied it. And you're right, Tuckmose.
Right. But what you're saying about Elvis, because Elvis, Tupelo, 45 miles from where I was born in Aberdeen, is 45 miles from where, but that's where he grew up, and he grew up around the jip joints with all our people playing the music. That's what he learned from.
Right.
And so what he did was Bo Diddley, Little Richard, all of them was on the Chitlin circuit, and they were coming around to the different towns and playing the jip joints. And as a kid, he was watching all of this because he had to be with us because he was a poor white boy. And so what you're looking at, it's like Tuckmose is saying, you know, Kenny G, he just copied, you know, coming off of what Coltrane was playing, the soprano saxophone. Then Najee started playing, you know, they pick up and they attempt to, what we create, they imitate. And mm-hmm. That's what has been the thing with them is that they are not original. And for even with them, they're saying their classical music in Europe came from the African instruments that they copied and made. And so what we're seeing is as what Leonard Jeffries always used to say, Africans create, Europeans imitate. And imitation is the highest form of flattery because their originality, the only thing their originality has been is destruction. And we don't want to copy that.
And we're seeing that today with AI. You know, like you always say, we are divine intelligence, and they have the artificial intelligence with the computer and things like that. So it's a constant pattern.
Right, because their ability to create from the unknown to the known, they have to put in a code or a program or algorithm into that computer. And the thing what we're doing is that we were able to create with divine intelligence all of the same things in which the motherboard and the slave does when they created the computer, because that's what makes a computer, a motherboard and a slave.
Right. Let me add someone else to the mound table here. 404-453.
Hey, Yehudu family. Hey, what y'all talking about is two words. See, cultural appropriation. But look at here, the jazz thing. I heard a song not too long ago by Sister Alice Coltrane. Y'all ever heard of Alice Coltrane?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she got a song called Journey to the what you can't accept, Sachi in the Mundo. That shit'll blow your mind, man. Even if you just try to go to another level, especially, you know, some of us, you know, I'm just getting into some stuff, these mushrooms. But if you listen to that song, Ray, bam, you find that song.
What's the name of it? What's the name of
it's Journey. It's Journey into Sachi de Mundo. I sent it to you.
Okay.
It's called a Journey. First, it's Journey
okay.
into Sachi de Mundo. That name is wild, but you listen to it, damn, that should have carried you way out there, man. I ain't lying, man. I might have to listen to that in a minute.
You came in. What's up, Brother West? But that's what I was talking
yeah.
about. When she, after Coltrane died, she went to India, and she started doing the meditation and getting into the mantras, because both of them were basically cosmically more connected, astrologically connected. They delved deeper into consciousness, astrological consciousness, than the ordinary person or ordinary musician. And she just picked up where he ended. She carried on and created, you know, this whole genre that she's created.
I don't know, man, but that song deep, bro. That shit carry you way out there to the way out there, man. I love that song, man. Ooh,
see, and you taking microbials, because, see, we used to, when back in my day, smoke a joint and put on some Coltrane. Oh, man. You it's like you hear every note, because the brain just kind of slows it down, and you get to feel what that person was saying. And then we start doing acid, then we start seeing the music coming out the speakers, then that's when you know that you was really messed up.
So I see smoke coming out my speaker right now. Yeah. But yeah, that's
why I want to give my man Eric Hank up, man. I want you, hey, bro, I love you, man. You get me amped up, bro.
Yeah, you already amped up, man. See, you don't need
right.
no amping. You already, you missed the amp himself. But yeah, likewise, brother. Yeah, man, I love it. I love it, man. You're right about that. Some of these frequencies, they will take you way out there. That's what this is about. You know, that's
yeah.
why we meet. We're going to be in Libra, and that's what Libra do. That's that Libra. That Libra yeah. is that hard air energy, you know, that challenges. It challenges you. Libra challenges. You know, Libra
yeah,
challenges.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Eric is a mushroomologist.
Yeah, nah, not hardly. Go ahead.
Oh, you said something about Libra, man. That's me, man. That balance, man. October 12th, man. That's the same day as Dick Gregory, man. So, he taught me a lot, man. I'm riding off of Mr. Dick Gregory. He be telling me what to say, man. So I'm gonna be quiet and let y'all talk, man. I love the time of year, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's right. It's autumn. That's that sound when that leaf just don't just fall from the tree. It falls in a spiral. It falls like the Milky Way, like you know what I'm saying? You know, it got that golden mean ratio when it falls to the ground. Then when it hit, it's silent to us because our ear ain't tuned into it. But when it falls, it make like the ocean splash. Then when a big old wave hit the bottom of the sand, boom! Yes, yeah, you look at our tune, it have the gold symbol in the front, AU, and then it have TUMN. Well, T is 2, U is 3, M is 4, and N is 5. So, yeah, man, it's perfect order. You know, I love this time of the year. You right on point. All right, I'll mute myself.
And what you're saying is what the comedic God was Atum, A-T-U-M. And that was the one who made himself out of himself. And this is what we're seeing, is that that inner being is that you create you. And if you understand how to master self, then you have all the possibilities of the universe, because ATUM is awakening true universal minds.
Yes, yes,
yes, sir.
Yes. Hydrogen atom.
That's why, yeah, that's why I told you the other day when I walked outside, it was the sun on my left side and the moon on the right side, man. So, hey, I'm in perfect, we're in perfect balance, some of us, man. Yeah, it's a beautiful time to be in perfect balance. Always stay on the light side of the scale, man.
Yeah, on at about right now, about four, about I say about four, no, about five in the morning, you can see the sun and the moon starting. You can see the moon come up first as a little small crescent, and then right behind it, boy, you can see the sun coming up. It's beautiful. I love getting up early in the morning, boy. See all them stars, all the little quartz crystals out there. Oh man, I love it. Yeah, I'm traveling right now, y'all, and I love everywhere. I love the whole North America. There ain't no special place to it. It's all beautiful, man. It's all beautiful people and beautiful places around here. So yeah, I'm really vibing and digging it. I'm looking forward to hooking up with you, Bev, so we can have a night out on the town.
Okay.
Straight up. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I like how you hosted Carlos Averhoff. That was tight. You appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. We're gonna get into Love Supreme. Let's hear some Love Supreme. Yeah, Love Supreme. That was one of his top music, from my understanding.
Yep. But that's when he switched saxophones, because he was playing Selmer's, but then Selmer came out with what they call the Mark Six. And that Mark Six was what he did Love Supreme with. That saxophone, the way he opened up with it, totally different sound. If you listen to his other albums before that, you'll see that the tone of that sax, that, I don't know, it was just something about that new line of Selmer put out there that he played with, you know, because Coltrane had a guy in Chicago that used to make his mouthpieces, and, you know, had a special order on his Ricohs, and most musicians play with a hard plastic, you know, mouthpiece, but he used a metal mouthpiece with his sax, and that gave a different tone that he could get that sound that he wanted from that instrument. And so in Coltrane introducing even the soprano saxophone, you know, he was instrumental in changing up, you know, from a soprano, tenor, and so it was a choice. He could make both of them work for him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now Alex, that was his wife.
Well, Alex was one of Naima. He made an album for her, and I think she died or something happened to her. But then he married Alice last. The Alice was the last wife.
Okay.
Because he made an album to I'm trying to remember what was that album. But he had made a special album for her. Giant Steps. I think that was even when Giant Steps was the Coltrane's love for Naima. He had a guy on there that he was rapping about her on his album. I Love Rock. You know, there's a site you can go on. It's called VMP, and it talks about the 10 top albums that Coltrane did. You know, Giant Steps. Love Supreme, and he has John Coltrane, My Favorite Thing, Sonship, that's when he's playing soprano, and Ola, John Train doing Ola. He's got 10 great albums that did Meditation by John Coltrane, Coltrane Live. Live at the Village Vanguard. And so, you know, he had John Coltrane Jazz. You've got Love Supreme, Blue Train. That's what you started off with, I think,
mm-hmm.
when he was playing that. But he 10 great albums by him that are still classics.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Pharoah Sanders, you know, when he was going out there with Pharoah Sanders and all of them, Elton Jones, you know, Elvin Jones, all of this great. Yeah, he had a great quartet sometimes of some of the greats.
Well, this one here is for Wes. I hope I got the right one, Wes. Let's see. Journey.
Yeah.
Was that the right song, Wes?
Yes, ma'am. That's it. I appreciate it. I got to hear it again. I play it again when you get. I'm telling you, that's the right tune, man. I'm telling you, take you way out there, man.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that.
Okay. I'll play it again before we go off. And we had a jazz festival here a couple of weeks ago, and so Carlos was part of our jazz festival, and I would like to play some of his music because we're getting down close on time. So is there anything else that you want to say, anyone want to say about John Coltrane?
Well, I just sent you that listing of Coltrane's 10 top hits, and there's another piece I'm going to send to you that gives Coltrane, when he made Love Supreme, that was dealing with all the issues that it went on, you know, Selma, the Voting Rights Act, all of the Malcolm being killed. So he composed all of that, and him and all of his quartet, that's when they made Love Supreme.
Okay.
That was his way of dealing with, you know, what was going on in the community as the struggle of our people was at that time.
Right. Yeah, because
so I'll send you the piece on that.
Okay.
1965.
Okay, yeah, because he passed away during that time, too. I see he passed away in 67.
Right.
Okay.
Well, since you said that, I want to pay homage to Ramsey Lewis. He just left a couple of days ago there. Ramsey Lewis, he was John, too.
He was one of Chicago's great piano players.
Oh, I didn't know I'm familiar with Ramsey Lewis. Okay, we're going to have to give him some energy, too. Okay. All right, well, we're going to hear a couple of tunes from Carlos. He was in Detroit at the Detroit Jazz Festival a couple of weeks ago. So let's hear something here. Thank you. Yes, that was Carlos Avenhoff Jr. That's from his latest album dedicated to his father. His father was a jazz player too, and it's called Together.
Yeah, it's that Cuba, that Cuban. Yeah. Once again, Beverly, thank you for being such a gracious host, and you know, man, it's a pleasure. You know, it's a great privilege and a pleasure. Love it.
And I thank y'all for participating. I thank the family. I wouldn't be here without the family, the Truth to Power family. And so we're going to go out with Ramsey Lewis, and then I'm going to play Alex again for Wes. Well, I want to thank everyone for sitting at the mound table and enjoying these vibes and frequencies with us tonight, and looking forward to doing it again. And thank everyone, and better love.
Yes, big up, big up.
All right, let's do some Ramsey Lewis.